Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 71. Distractions. We all need them. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy with me. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 71, recorded on January the 20th and the 21st, 2017, brought to you by RayRay.net and being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. My name is Ray Morali, also known as Ray Ray. You guys mostly know that I am an NBA online writer, so most of this podcast will be about the NBA, but, you know, it's just called Ray Ray is Fundamental. It's about whatever the heck I want to talk about, whether it's sports and movies and television and dating and whatever the heck I want. So that's what makes this podcast fundamental. This episode will have old friend Lauren Chen from On the NBA Beat, but again, we're not talking about basketball. We're just going to talk about Super Mario World, which is one of the greatest video games of all time. And also bringing back the Gal Pal, Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad as Joanne and I talk about distractions, getting distracted. You'll know what I'm talking about when you get to that part of the episode. But in the meantime, before we go on with this episode, let me remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on Stitcher and RayRay.net. And again, this show is being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. Follow me on Twitter, at the NoloPass, and follow the podcast Twitter at RayRayIsFun, because you cannot fit RayRayIsFundamental for a Twitter handle. It only has 16 characters. So, without further ado, here we go. Lauren Chen on the NBA Beat, Super Mario World, and maybe something else. Scratch. Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 71. I'm Ray Ray, taking a solo. My guest, he's one third of the on the NBA Beat podcast, and I've pretty much known him for like that my entire Twitter existence for like 8 years, 9 years, probably something like that. Lauren Chen, how's it going, man?
Hey, Ray Ray, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so, geez, like, we go way back. I know we did basketball together, right? And,
right.
And but pretty much, like, I don't even remember how we met. Honestly,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, I think we probably both joined Twitter in 2008, is that correct?
Yeah.
Right about when basketball Twitter was getting started up. And then in 2010, I moved to L.A., and that's where we met in real life.
Yeah, we played ball. Then next year we did the whole Basketball Jones. We watched the Basketball Jones, right? I think. Were you there? I don't even remember if you were there.
Yeah, we both went to the Basketball Jones. We're on their country tour. I forget.
Right.
And we also met up at, L.A. had the All-Star Game in 2011, I believe. Either 2011 or 12.
And then we just saw each other, like, intermittently, like, we played pool, all that stuff, all that good stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've pretty much known you forever now, so. Well, that's cool, though, like, you know. But how come it took you so long to do this NBA podcast? Like, you've been around for a while, and you just started this, like, what, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, we started last year, me and the Fishman Brothers. I was blogging for a little bit before, probably from 2007 to maybe 10, I guess. Then I gave that up for a while, and then, I mean, it just roped me back in, I guess, by last year when Aaron and Joshua asked me if I wanted to join them on this, and I said yeah, so, yep.
So you started writing earlier than I did then, because I started in 08, so, yeah, okay. So, you wanted to come on this podcast because you want to talk about Mario, but the thing is, it's like, again, Mario encompasses so many games, so long of a time, really, because Mario started in, like, the 80s, and they're still going in 2017 now, so, but we did talk about a Mario game that we've been talking about for, like, years now, Super Mario World for Super Nintendo, so let's talk about that. When did you first play that game?
It's actually funny, because now I'm obsessed with Super Mario World, but actually as a kid growing up, I was I had a Sega at my house, so I didn't really get exposed to Mario stuff until later. I mean, I would go to my friends' houses and play if they had Nintendo, but as a kid, I spent a lot more time playing Sonic than Mario. But then I really, when I went to college in undergrad, my roommate brought his Super Nintendo from home, and we had it set up in our room. And during that time, as you may know, in college, you can just spend, like, hours upon hours doing some random thing. So we would just play random games on his Nintendo and Super Nintendo for just, like, being nostalgic. And that's when I really grew to appreciate Super Mario World for how great it is. And as I told you before we started recording, I'm pretty sure, in my opinion, it's one of the best games of all time.
I mean, I'm understanding how great it is. But how long did it take you to get 96 worlds or 96 stages or whatever it is that you need to get to 100% the game? Because that was the magical number, 96.
Right, 96 exits, I guess.
Yeah.
The first time we did it, it was like me and my roommate, like taking turns, like playing for lives. It actually took us a long time because I don't know, but every subsequent time you figure out what the best way to complete each level is, and then you just learn like general strategy of playing Mario. When I got the game for myself a few years ago, I would try to get 96 exits like while bored, just like every couple months, and it would take just like a couple, maybe like a few hours or over the course of 2 days or something like that.
Because it took me, because the game came out, I was about 7th grade, I think. I'm old. And I didn't get 96 exits until my senior year. Because I couldn't find one of the exits. What was the exit that eluded you for the longest time that prevented you from getting 96?
The other thing is that it used to be harder when we were younger because there weren't so many resources you can look up on the internet, or like you have to like buy a magazine or something to figure out what every secret exit is, or nowadays like you can just look up the wiki, like Mario wiki, and look up every exit, how to get it. I think the exit that eluded me the longest was, I forget exactly what the level's called, but there's one where there's a normal exit, and then there's a second exit that's just, like, a few segments after it, where you have to, like, dip under the normal exit and come back up.
Oh, there's two of them, I think. I believe you're talking about either the bridge,
mm-hmm.
or the one in, like, Chocolate Valley or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Cheese Bridge one, is that what it's called? That one's also really fun, because that's the one with, like, the, you're sort of riding on the platforms and avoiding, like, the saw guys coming at you.
Yeah.
And if you have, like, Cape and Yoshi, essentially, you can just press,
jump off Yoshi.
Like, you can just, like, hold right and jump, and, like, it'll just magically take you all the way across the level, essentially.
The one that eluded me the most is the ghost house that leads to the back door of Bowser's castle,
mm-hmm.
the last level, because I had trouble finding that exit. It took me a long time to find it too, because I was stuck on 95 for the longest time. I was like, where the hell is the 96? I didn't even know there was a path to the back door.
Ooh. Yeah, and then you have to, like, manipulate the control coin to
get
that little, like...
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about then. Yeah, exactly. I had a hard time finding that. I had no idea.
I think I always knew it was there, but it would always take me a million tries to, like, actually control the coin correctly.
Because if
you, like, mess it up, then it's really hard to do it on any subsequent attempt. In terms of the level that gave me the most trouble to actually beat, I would say in Valley of Bowser, the one with the spikes coming down, Valley Fortress, I think it is.
Oh, yeah. With those huge, gosh, I'm not sure if they're released. It's almost like those thick rocks with the spikes around them, right? Or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Those things are frightening, man. Because you just touch them and you die.
Basically. Yeah, even if you're big, essentially, they'll just continue crushing you.
Yeah, yeah. There's just a lot of things about... See, the funny thing is that I own both Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo, but you could convince me that Mario World was a better game than Sonic the Hedgehog 1. I was so pro-Sonic at the time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't appreciate how many secrets Mario World had. Like, an example is, I believe, the fortress in Fourth of Illusion, where you can fly across the lava, mm-hmm. and then at the end of that, there's like 9 one-up mushrooms.
Ah.
Like, I did appreciate those secrets, but man, it's so cool getting those secrets now. So, any secrets that, like, really made you go, like, wow, that's pretty cool, or whatever.
Hmm.
Definitely the lava one was, like, one of them for me.
The one level where part of it's, like, you have to time your navigation through, like, it's sort of like a maze with a yellow block trying to crush you the entire way, but you can avoid part of the level by flying backwards, essentially, and getting to a secret key exit. Where is that? I think it must be in Forest of Illusion, but I don't remember the level name. Oh, actually, I just remembered one other level. Uh-huh. Chocolate Island 2, where you go into a tube, and depending on the time remaining on your clock, you come out into different worlds. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that one.
Took me a really long time how to figure out, and I don't think I would have figured it out without the internet, but somehow I did as a child.
Yeah, the thing is, I would go as fast as possible just to get to that key, I think that was the way to do it, right?
Right.
Get coins or go as fast as you can, something like that.
Right. Like, the secret exit, you have to essentially get through the first two stages to without, like, messing up a jump at all, because you have to have more than 250 seconds left on the clock.
See, I had no idea of how much time you needed. I didn't know. I just went as fast as possible. So, I didn't know the exact time you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't know. I didn't really look it up just yet, because I just knew, like, oh, I know how to get this. You know what I mean? So,
it would just be, like, if you go too slow, then you go out to the normal exit. If you go sufficiently fast enough, you get the secret exit, I guess, right?
Yeah. But I remember telling you, just a few months ago, that the fortress, the castles, where there are some secret exits that you can go and know, and then it's essentially a shortcut. Like, I didn't know that there were some secret walls or whatever,
mm-hmm.
where I would just jump up and like, oh my god, there's a door over here, and it would take you to the, I guess, an essentially like bonus room where you can get, you know, 3 coins and a 1-up or whatever, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I didn't know about that until like a few months ago.
I think the most mind-blowing thing as a child that I learned was that essentially the best strategy in almost any level of Mario is just to, like, go as fast as you can, almost.
Yeah.
Or at least keep, especially in the fixed advance rate stages, like a lot of castles are like that, to keep as far right as possible and you'll be relatively safe from the obstacles. Because I think as a child, you're really tentative and you're like trying to like meticulously avoid every obstacle, but then you realize if you just like hug the wall, like the obstacle will just miss you.
Yeah, exactly.
That didn't really work with which one was it? Where you would still get crushed if you hugged the wall. I forgot which one it was. It was probably the second castle where they would those things would crush you. Mm-hmm. I forget which one it was, but
this is Adam Jacoby, and if you're looking for a morality play, check out Ray Ray is Fundamental.
Robbie Countess, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
So let's talk about those of that secret special road. Those things are probably the hardest in the game, really.
Mm-hmm. Special world.
That special world would have like those surfer words like tubular and cool and radical or whatever the heck, outrageous and stuff like that. I think the ones that are the second one was really hard. We'd have to fly.
Yep.
Through those
tubular.
I guess. Yeah, the football guys, or the hammer birds, whatever they are, they're throwing baseballs at you, and you have to fly through the stage with that balloon.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is difficult as hell. Like I still need like 3 tries even today just to get through that thing.
The first time I beat Tubular, mm-hmm. I actually didn't realize that there were actually 3 pee balloons. First across the level, I thought there was only one, and then you'd have to like go really far and then try to like bounce on the enemies to go get to the end. And I actually miraculously did it once by pure luck, I think. But like it would just be like me trying to use a cape feather as far as I can and then just like try to bounce on the enemies and not hit the baseballs being thrown at me. I think when you realize there are 3 P balloons, it's not. I mean, it's still one of the hardest stages, probably, but it's definitely more doable. I think Outrageous is a harder stage than that. Actually, Outrageous is the one that kind of looks like Forest of Illusion, and there's just like those.
There's just like a litany of enemies that coming at you, right?
The Wigglers. Yeah. Like all over the place, and a ton of bullet bills,
and then those little fire
snakes.
Yeah, fire snakes. Yeah, they're just like all over the place, and weren't like enemies exploding out of boxes too, or whatever. Like they're just coming out of the bricks and whatnot, and they're just like landing at you or whatever. I don't know if that was
those mole guys, right?
Yeah, Funk is pretty hard too, but I didn't realize that you can actually add time to your. I think you eat certain berries where it would add to your time. I think on Funky.
Funky.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I didn't know that either. Actually.
Yeah, I just read about that recently.
Yeah.
Because you start with 200 seconds,
right?
And then that's not a lot of time to be a stage,
right?
Mario. So, I think if you have a Yoshi, you can eat certain berries all after your time, mm-hmm. but for the most part, like, you have to race through it, because, I don't know, I didn't know, I didn't have a Yoshi at the time, so, yeah, and of course, at the end, it'll say, thank you, or whatever,
yeah. Like, you are awesome.
Yeah, something like that, you are special, but I don't know, some message. Yeah. Could the game have been longer, though? Like, it is Dynasty's Exits, but I feel like Mario 3 is a longer game if you don't warp.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Super Mario World, if you're just trying to beat it as fast as beat Bowser as fast as possible, can definitely be done in like under 20 minutes too, like without it even. I mean, if you just don't die, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, cause Mario 3, cause it has 8 worlds and some of us go as high as 10 stages basically. And Mario World has like what? It has 7. Well, maybe 9. You'll include Star Road, and we'll include a special world. But at the most part, it has like 5-6 stages.
Yeah, I mean, well, Mario World has 96 exits, right?
Yeah, but
I mean, some of them take like 10 seconds to do, I guess.
Yeah, and some of them have 2 exits. Some stages have 2 exits.
Right.
So, you know, there's probably actually like what, 60 stages, 70 stages. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's still a pretty long game by any standards. But I don't know. It is a 1991 game, so you can't really fault it for that. Obviously, games will be longer now.
Did Mario 3 have like battery save, or did you have to like?
No, you have to beat it. You have to beat it there.
Right. So that's where I guess like the Super Nintendo really like lets you.
Like, if you played Mario All-Stars, it'll have a battery save, but if you played the original Nintendo game, it won't have that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But did you play all the other Mario well, obviously everybody's played a Mario game, but, like, besides Mario World, was there any other Mario game that kind of endeared you to?
I've definitely I've obviously played Super Mario Bros. And Mario 3. I haven't spent a lot of time with Mario 2. Honestly.
That one's funky.
Yeah, I know. And then,
yeah.
You know, 64 is obviously great.
Like
introducing a lot of new things, and then...
I play 64 every year. Like play 64, Link to the Past, and, like, Mario World probably like every year or something like that.
I just haven't spent enough time with it because I never owned a N64, so...
Right.
I never, like, was able to get good at it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And learn all the stuff.
And other Mario games that we've been, I guess, obsessed with recently, Mario Run for the mobile.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's a pretty fun game, but it's also, I don't know if it's worth $10.
I mean, it was worth it to me, you know, at least for that, you know, amount of money. At least it wasn't like $60 or whatever like it was for a regular Mario game.
Oh, that's definitely true.
Yeah, I mean... I still spent some time trying to beat that thing and trying to get all the colored coins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and $10 is basically lunch, so.
That's a good point. I mean, we're, like, trained to believe that, like, mobile apps shouldn't be very much money, but you get a decent amount of experience. I know, like, you probably spent a lot more time getting the colored coins than me because of your insistence to only use Mario, though.
Yeah, my insistence on not moving on to the next stage, I got all the colored coins too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, oh, I'm good enough to play this game. So, yeah, I did that. I wouldn't go on to like World 6-1 if I didn't get like all the black coins and like 5-4 or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's just so much easier with Luigi.
I still haven't played it with Luigi, you know that? Like, I still haven't done it yet.
He's exactly like Mario, except he jumps higher.
Well, like, just like most other Mario games, basically.
Right.
Like, I think they started doing that in, like, Mario 2,
right.
Where Luigi jumps higher, and his legs, like, wobble all over the place in Mario 2 when he jumps. So, but Mario World, like, it feels like it's still, like, pretty much, like, the best Super Nintendo game out, even if it's the first one, if it was passed in or whatever. You know, I love Final Fantasy 3, I love Chrono Trigger, I love Link to the Past, but... Mario World, man. you still play it. I mean, you just pick it up, and you know it's easy to play. So
I mean, there are a decent amount of good Super Nintendo games too. I actually really like Donkey Kong Country. I think it's the worst game than Mario World, but it's pretty fun.
I never 100%ed Donkey Kong Country.
Me neither, actually, but. I think the mechanics of that game are pretty fun.
Yeah, I think I only got like 60% of that game. I don't even know how to find the secrets anymore because I recently replayed it with my friends, two player, and yeah, I never got more than 60% out of that game. It's tough. It really is. Like, because I'm not sure if that's an indicator whether that feature has a secret exit or not, or whatever. You know, or a secret room, or, you know, to add to your percentage.
Right. You just have to know.
Yeah. At least Mario World told you, like, oh, that stage is red.
Mm-hmm.
It has a secret exit. And the thing is, not the future games that have maps like Mario, the new Mario Brothers, whether it's 3DS or 3D, DS or Wii,
mm-hmm.
or even Mario 3D World, which I love, by the way, they don't tell you if they have secret exits or not. You just have to know.
Really?
Yeah. Silly that way. So.
I actually have Mario 3D World, but I've never really played it. It came with my Wii.
Oh, it's awesome. Well, multiplayer is awesome because that had some of my favorite multiplayer memories. And we just recently like cleaned it out. We 100% of the game because we were so obsessed with it. And you know, the thing about Mario 3D World is that it's not only cooperative, but it's also competitive because you try to get the most points in each stage. So it's kind of hilarious to like, try to get all the points and all the coins while you're trying to beat the stage too. So, you know, it's great.
I think I played it maybe once with mm-hmm. my roommate in Los Angeles, and I didn't really understand like the mechanics of the game, so I would spend a lot of the time. The game just like messing him up in a co-op mode, just like bumping him off the stage and
yeah, but it's fun that way.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I don't know, maybe because we're older now, so we appreciate how funny that is. Because obviously back then we're so competitive that when Paul makes a mistake, we get mad, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, but really, it's fun, and I think the reason why we were playing older Mario multiplayer games now because of that experience. Mm. So.
Art and Super Smash Brothers.
I am horrible at both of those games. Like, I'm so bad at them. I'm probably more decent at Mario Kart,
mm-hmm.
but Smash Brothers, I'm terrible at it.
Which version of Mario Kart?
Let's see. Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64, the Double Dash, mm-hmm. GameCube. I played the Wii one, but that doesn't have like a GT version, a GT mode.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sucks. I played a DS a couple times too. So
I think my favorite is Double Dash for that.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like so. I played with my friend. You might have met him, Nick Perkins. You might have met him playing ball. I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but he always carried me in those games. You know, it's like he's the one that's like they'll finish first. I'll finish like third or fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But he's usually the one beating the stage for me. So it's kind of pathetic, really. And then back in the day when we played like Battle Mode or something, I would lose to like my then girlfriend at the time, and she's terrible at video games. So it's weird, like Mario Kart's like Kryptonite or something.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that like, yeah, Mario World's great. Mario 3's probably like a lot of people's favorite, but I still go back to Mario 1 as like my all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like. I don't know, because it's what started for me all. I don't know. It's nostalgic, obviously, one of the very first games I played. And it was very deep for a 1985 game, 1984, whenever that came out.
Yeah, I think because I'm a little bit younger than you, so I didn't play Mario 1 and Mario 3 when they came out at first.
Right.
Especially because I didn't have a Nintendo, and then when I got to the age of, like, where I was playing video games, all my friends had Super Nintendos instead of, like, NESs, so. So I did return and play those games, but I think without the nostalgia factor, I don't know. I mean, when I played those games, it was in Super Mario All-Stars also, and I'm not sure if it's a different experience or not.
It kind of is, because there's some subtle differences, but I can tell, because I'm a nerd like that. But, the thing is, it, obviously the games get technically better as the years go by, so obviously Mario 1 is pretty, like, obviously going to be inferior compared to, like, Mario 3 and Mario World and, you know, whatever comes afterwards. But, you know, again, the nostalgia factor basically, was the reason why I would still play Mario 1 over a lot of games. And it's a quick game for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can beat that in 15 minutes, probably. And, again, maybe because I just know everything about the game, I suppose, you know, like the back of my hand. I like Mario World, but I still didn't know that you could beat a buzzsaw with your butt, which we just discovered.
we both just discovered that.
Yeah.
I think I feel that way about, like, Sonic 2, because that's the game that I played most as a child, just, like, hours on end. Like, and I, even after not playing that for, like, 15 years or something, I'm still, like, if I plug it in again, you can still beat that game in, like, under 15 minutes, probably. Especially since the Sonic games, I think, are much more linear, usually.
Yeah, and faster because of the speed, obviously.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that I tried to play Sonic 2 recently. And I used to know nearly everything about the game, including, like, the bonus stages where I would know where to get the rings and, you know, not get hit by the bombs or whatever. I used to know all about that, like, in high school. Now I know nothing about it. And it took me a while to, like, get to, like, Hilltop Zone or whatever. I'm like, man, I suck at this game now. Because I haven't played it in so long. You know?
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're going for the Chaos Emeralds, like...
Yeah.
I don't think there's, unless you're a completionist, there's that much point in trying to get them. I mean, you get to be supersonic, which is just basically a cheat code, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they took out, because I was researching some history of Sonic 2 and why it's got the hidden power stone back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they just put in supersonic instead. And there was actually four more levels they wanted to put in, and there's some prototypes on YouTube, actually, they put in some videos there, so you can check those out when you get a chance to. But, yeah. Because I was wondering I'm a nerd, I would go through the sound test and whatnot, and I would hear a track that was something, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Right? And then it turned to be the Hidden Palace Zone, but they never put in the stage.
But the music's still there.
Yeah, but the music's still there. Funny enough, they did put in the Hidden Palace Zone and the mobile game of Sonic 2.
Mm.
So, I don't know how you get it, but it's there. But I'm more Sonic 1 because I know about that game more than Sonic 2.
I don't think I've ever played Sonic 1 because when I bought Genesis, the included game was already Sonic 2 and I never went back. And I played Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles, obviously, but I think Sonic 2... You know, because it's the first game, like, for me.
Yeah. I beat Sonic 3 once in high school. Never haven't beaten it since. And I never beat Sonic & Knuckles. So, I should try to beat those games at some point.
I mean, when you make the combined game Sonic 3 and Knuckles, I think that's a really good game.
Yeah, I do have the original cartridges, and I can just, like, lock-off technology or whatever it was called back in the day.
Yeah, where, like, the Sonic & Knuckles cartridge would flip up and, like, have another tooth thing.
Like a slot or whatever.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, yeah, so.
Would you ever try to, like, stick in random other cartridges into that Sonic?
I actually haven't tried it yet. Maybe I should. I don't know if the game will break or whatever. I don't know. I don't think so. Getting really off topic now about this thing, but did you know that you can do, like, some tricks, there's some cheat code, but, like, you can, say, it's specific too, where you can take out a cartridge, like, Alter Beast, take out the cartridge while the power's on, and then put in, like, Space Harrier or whatever, reset the game, and then you'll have, like, 99 lives. In the game. Yeah. It's so specific. And they don't recommend you doing it, but you can do it. It's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I did it so many times with my Genesis, but it never broke down, so I guess it was alright to do it. You couldn't do it in Super Nintendo though, because it has like a, it has an eject button, so you can exactly, you can't really do it without, you know.
Yeah, in Genesis, you can just like grab the cartridge out, right?
Yeah, grab the cartridge, just take it out and put in a different game. Again, it has to be a specific game to get those codes to work. It has to be Ultra Beast or something. So, but yeah, it's weird. Like, obviously, Super Mario was a much better game than the first Sonic the Hedgehog, but for some reason, you just couldn't convince me that Mario was a better game back then. I love Sonic the Hedgehog 1 so much. But
I mean, the Sonic games also, you know, they sort of introduced the idea of speedrunning games before that really became a thing, or at least for, like, casual players, right? Because it,
yeah,
the whole thing was just, like, how fast can you beat the stage, and, like, you just, like, try to go as fast as possible, whereas the Mario games, it's, like, as I said before, it's a little bit more meticulous, like, you're taking your time, and, like, maybe as a kid, like, that's more boring to you or something.
Yeah, and then you have to be, you have to look everywhere to look for those secrets in Mario, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you're an experienced Mario player, it's like you can get through those games easier because, you know, you just have to be alert about everything at that point. So yeah, I guess that's it. That's our conversation about Mario World. I guess in another podcast soon, when I have you back, we'll talk about like other Mario games that we didn't go over, because again, there's a lot of them. 64, Galaxy, Sunshine, you know, the new Mario Brothers, whatever. So, did you play any of those games at least?
No, well, no, because I didn't have a original Wii, and then
or GameCube maybe.
Yeah, I had a GameCube, but I didn't have the Mario games in it. I hear Galaxy and Galaxy 2 are really great games, though.
I haven't played Galaxy 2. Galaxy is really great, but Galaxy 2 I haven't played yet. And Sunshine is hard, if you ever get around to that.
Right.
So, yeah. So, before you do your plugs, you're going to be a contestant on Jeopardy. At least it's going to be televised on Tuesday the 24th. So.
Yep.
Yeah, that's gonna be cool. Did he ask any Mario questions there? or Mario answers, excuse me?
not that I remember, but...
but tune in, right?
Right.
ABC on 7 o'clock. Is it 7 o'clock Eastern Pacific?
It's actually different in each market, so you really have to check your listings to see what channel it's on and what time it is, because... I know in LA it's on ABC at 7. In Boston, where I am now, it's on CBS at 7:30, which is really weird.
Oh. Yeah, so check your local listings for Jeopardy on Tuesday night. Look for Lauren Chen. He's probably going to kill the competition. Like he always does. So go ahead and plug your social media and your podcast and all that stuff.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Lauren L. Chen, Loren. I'm sure it'll be written in the episode notes, but our podcast is On the NBA Beat, which you can find at onthenbabeat.com or on Twitter, On the NBA Beat. And
also on iTunes as well.
Yep. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever. And then, yeah, me on Jeopardy on Tuesday, and then if I win on Tuesday, possibly Wednesday, possibly forever. Who knows?
I like, you never change your avatar until, like, when you got on Jeopardy, which is fantastic, because you always had the, oh my god, Brian Space thing, the basketball. What was that called again?
Orange Roundy.
Orange Roundy, yeah, because you had that avatar forever.
Well, yeah, because that I've made that my avatar when I first got onto Twitter, which was in 2008, and I had that until last year, actually. And then when we made the podcast, each of us has a caricature drawn for the podcast that was drawn by my sister, actually. So I changed that my avatar to that to promote the podcast. And then, so that was up for about a year now, and then
last
week I made it Jeopardy.
Yeah, you just can't turn down an avatar of Alex Trebek.
No.
Yeah, no, you just can't. So, yeah, so hopefully we'll see you on Tuesday winning Jeopardy, and hopefully the days after that. So, thanks again, Lauren. We'll talk more Mario, and we'll talk on Twitter. You know how it goes. We talk everywhere. So, cool.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Ray. And I'll say, if you like basketball, maybe it would have been more relevant when I had taped the episode a few months ago, but there's a thing at the end that hopefully will be caught by basketball Twitter, and they'll enjoy.
All right, cool. We'll look out for that. So, yeah, Adam says hi, and since he's not here, I'll go ahead and say it. There's no need to be bugging when it's an Ninja Turtle you're hugging. Thanks for wasting my time, Lauren.
What's up, y'all? This is Sharif, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Somewhat Fundamental podcast. This is Derek Dockett, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
It's Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad.
It's back! Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad in 2017, and one of my favorite gal pals is around. Joanne, how's it going?
Good, Ray Ray. Still trying to make fetch happen.
Well, here's the thing. Like, okay, so I know it's not a great day today, at least for most people. For most people to have sense, actually, it's January the 20th, 2017, and we're under a new administration in this country, so...
Oh, we sure are.
Yeah, so I'm going to do my best to the audience and to you that I'm going to do a little distraction. Speaking of distractions...
It's up to us to distract the people.
Yeah, so I'm pretty good at getting distracted myself. So, you know I've had my issues with women in terms of, like, you know, getting dated or something happens to me. You know, we all know about this sort of thing that happens.
Oh, there are stories.
Yeah, there are stories. And the thing is, it's like, it goes way, way, way back. So you already know that. And part of that is getting distracted. And,
where are we going with this?
So, first of all, I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast, because I know she sees my stuff on Facebook, but I hope this woman doesn't listen to my podcast, because this is about her. And, way back when Ray Ray was a 14-year-old in Spanish class, so, I was sitting, shoot, what name should I use? Oh, I'm gonna use Maria as the name, okay?
Maria, okay.
Okay, so Maria was a cheerleader, nice girl, pretty girl. She sits next to me in Spanish class, right? And, at the time, she was wearing her cheerleader outfit. And at the time, the class was in a lull, and, we were just getting our grade for Spanish. It was towards the end of the first quarter. And, you know, the teacher's just calling us one by one, you know, telling us our grade and telling us what we need to do better. Stuff like that, you know. And
yeah.
I'm just here, like, you know, just daydreaming or whatever, you know. And then the teacher calls Maria's name. It's like, hey, I was going to check your grade really quick, right? So Maria walks to the front of the class. And here I was, still kind of dazed a little bit. Maybe dazed and confused, but whatever. So I watch her walk to the front. Not, like, I really watched walk to the front. So, yeah. So, you know, I had this
you
whole
hate to
thought.
See her go, like, but you love to watch her leave.
Yeah, it's like you just said, I just had this thought. It's like, you know, something about how girls walk. You know, you're still trying to discover the wonders of girls at the time. I'm 14 years old. And I watched her walk to the front. In the corner of my eye, a couple of my brother's friends who are in the same class as I am, I saw them just laugh at me. They're just like, you know, just laughing.
And I'm just kind of like...
You were busted.
Yeah, you caught me, basically, right? And then later on, after class, we were all playing ball after school, the guys were like, hey, we saw you looking at a girl's butt. And I'm like... yeah, I like the way it moved. So...
Well, I mean, that was honest, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it just happens, you know? You just watch them walk, I guess.
Now, here's my question. Do you think that Maria knew?
Oh, she has no idea.
Okay.
She has no clue.
You were not busted from that perspective, so that's...
No, definitely not, no. I mean, unless she hears this podcast and for some reason she knew it was her. But, no. So, yeah, that's the thing. Because, you know, it would never cross her mind that I would go after her as, like, a possible, you know, girlfriend or whatever. Like, that never came across our minds. It's like, you know, I like some other girls, but... Her, I mean, I just couldn't help it at the time, okay? So,
well, this was 14-year-old Ray, you know.
Yeah.
It was a whole new world.
Yeah, the pervert in Spanish class, yeah. So, so my question is that, like, we all look. There's no question about that. We all look at whoever it is, whoever's attractive to you, right? But have you ever gotten caught?
Oh my gosh, probably. I'm struggling to think of an example quite like yours, but I know I've had many instances where, you know, just driving in the car and I'm looking at someone's dog and the driver maybe thinks that I'm looking at them.
But that's different. It's like you're just looking at someone else's dog.
They don't think I'm looking at the dog, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I'm straight up looking at a girl's butt, you know, like, and it's not the only time I was caught to looking at a girl's butt. And this is not 14-year-old Ray this time. This is more like, 22-year-old Ray.
See, it's like the older the age gets in the story, the creepier it sounds.
It does, yeah. So, I was at an arcade, that's archaic these days, an arcade, and I'm just hanging out with, you know, one of my friends, you know, and some kids were just like, not really kids, because that sounds really creepy, some college people, how's that?
Okay.
We're just making noise outside the arcade, on the front door of the arcade. And then one of them had, like, some really loud pink pajamas. Like, she's wearing them, like, at 10 o'clock at night. Right? And then my friend, let's call her, Tammy. and Tammy is just like, man, look at those pajamas. Those really stick out, man. And it's like, I wouldn't wear any of those at night or whatever, right? And then while she's talking to me, I'm just looking, right? I'm just looking at the pajamas. And then she walks inside the arcade. I was still looking. Or more like watching, right? While Tammy's talking, she realized what I was doing. And she was like, oh my God, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, I saw you looking at that girl's butt. And I'm like, well, yeah. and she just went on and even threatened. It's like, oh, I'm gonna tell your girlfriend about this. Like, that's not really cool.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, hey. I didn't go home with her. Like, it's okay for me to look. She looks. You look. Everybody looks. Whatever, right? And then as we're walking towards the parking lot, as we're about to go home, she decides to go behind me, and I'm like, what are you doing? And Tammy was like, you are not walking behind me. You are not going to watch my phone.
Smart girl.
And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Like, it's not just friends, you know? And that's not even worse, because I get back in front. I'm like, and she's like, no, you're not going to watch me, no. And eventually I did tell my girlfriend at the time, because I know she could be a really jealous girl, and she's just like, what am I going to do with you? But I'm like, hey, you look,
well, I'm glad everybody was able to laugh about it.
Yeah.
That could have been much worse.
Yeah, so those are, I'm sure I've been caught more than twice, but those are the times where the people are just like, hey, I caught you. So I get easily distracted, I guess. I don't know.
And it's just, and it seems to be, there seems to be a pattern with what distracts you.
That's yeah,
what I'm noticing here. Ray Ray loves the ladies.
Well, yeah, okay, that I thought you meant something else, like, oh, Ray Ray loves back or something. But,
well, I mean, I'm not saying that, but, well.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, like, we all look, like, is that bad? No? I don't know. Am I doing something wrong here?
You know, I think, you know, it's all good up until a certain point, you know.
I guess so. Like, if you catch me looking now, it would be kind of creepy, right? Like, I'm nearly 40 years old, and if someone catches me, like, looking at, like, you know, some college girl walking in front of me, like, that would be kind of creepy, I guess.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference between, like, noticing and appreciating and then just, like, leering and being really creepy, you know. There's a line. There's a difference. So
I suppose so.
And
so,
and I just, you know, I would give you the benefit of the doubt that, you know, for you it's more, you know, noticing and appreciating.
Thank you, because I'm not that kind of, I mean,
yeah.
Thank goodness you guys don't think of me like that. Like, you know, I do appreciate, you guys know my track record, which is kind of bad, but you guys know I'm more about noticing and appreciating. Yeah.
Yes.
Not
Ray Ray loves the ladies, and that's okay. That's okay.
Leering is an awful word. I just realized that right now. Like, leering is such a terrible word. But, yeah, so, you know, ladies, I guess, feel free to walk in front of me. Is that the lesson learned here?
Maybe. And I still say there needs to be a universal sign for, sir, I was looking at your dog, not you. I'm just saying.
That's just a different story altogether. But yeah, so lessons learned. Ray Ray appreciates your attractive looks, whether it's the front or the back. And Joanne appreciates dogs.
I do.
I don't know what the point of this is anymore, so I'm going to end it here. So thanks, Joanne.
But we distracted the people.
We did. We did.
USA.
USA.
Game over, yeah!
Hashtag blame Ray Ray.
Moded.